The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Dende sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. Jay Gruden is going to be with us in a little over 30 minutes. We will get his thoughts on the Terry McLaurin contract extension and some of the differences between our quarterback now entering year number two and a guy that Jay Gruden coached when he was entering the later, not year number two, because that was still Shanahan, but you know, the differences between Jaden and one Robert Griffin. First, though, a little bit of housekeeping. I am sitting in, obviously, for Kevin today. I was asking the boys behind the glass. Sheehan does not acknowledge the chat, does he? We are on YouTube. If you do not know, you can watch us on YouTube. You can see my beautiful face. There was a lot of effort into setting this up today. So everybody go watch on YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Give us a thumbs up. But you can also interact with us in the chat. Kevin doesn't acknowledge the chat, does he?
I don't think he has any idea that it's even there.
Okay, I think we should start a new drinking game. That you need to take a shot every time that Kevin acknowledges the chat moving forward.
Oh, that would be the most
stone cold sober for a majority of this game. But eventually, the day that he does recognize the chat, it'll be a party behind the glass.
It will, because I think when I get back from vacation, I'm going to try and see if we can get it working in before the season goes, kind of get him used to it. But
to be like, hey, you know, there's a thing on the side of this television situation that we got going on here where you can interact with the people.
Hey, you know, people are, instead of trying to call you, they're just trying to write you a message, not on Twitter, but
nice and real quick. I think quick that'd and be easy. Fun. Yeah, so that's a new Kevin Sheehan drinking game. Take a shot every time that he acknowledges the chat. So this has been a very interesting week. Generally speaking, it is a very slow time in sports. We don't have any football. We don't have any baseball. We don't have any NBA unless you just love Summer League, which some people do. I am not religiously watching Summer League. Terry McLaurin blessed us, albeit a little bit of a blunder. Terry blessed us with a little bit of stories, shall we say. This whole media game that McLaurin has been playing, I understand what the attempt was. It was very, very clear they wanted to leverage the public in their favor, and they wanted to make things, it almost feels like blow things a little bit out of proportion here. And this goes way back to before this week. The thing that took place, the presser that was like 35 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever it was, at a car dealership, that was a jumbled mess to me. And honestly, Terry McLaurin is a little bit better than this. So I was a little bit disappointed. But this goes, I tracked this yesterday, Max, just because I wanted to acknowledge what this media game was. And it was really in part, not for something that Terry did this week, but it was because more of what Ian Rappaport reported after what Terry did. Rappaport got on NFL Network and said that Terry McLaurin is asking for $30 million. And my question was, as soon as I saw this video and read this, the post that accompanied it on social media, where was this reporting before? If he's asking for $30 million, and specifically if you are Ian Rappaport, if you knew that information, wouldn't you have reported this before? The answer is yes, because if you are a reporter, as soon as you get that information, you will then give that information. So he was not sitting on this information. He must have been given this information after the debacle that was the Eastern Motors press conference. This goes all the way back to pre-minicamp when you first got the tweet from Jordan Schultz that was then picked up by Adam Schefter that Terry McLaurin was feeling a little bit frustrated and they don't know if he is going to attend mandatory minicamp. A couple days go by. It is very clear there is no 17 there. Terry McLaurin does not attend mandatory minicamp. And we know that he's frustrated because in the initial tweet all the way back in late May, it said that Terry McLaurin is frustrated with the lack of progress in a contract extension. We go an entire month with next to nothing, and then he holds this press conference at Eastern Motors where he expresses frustration. He expresses that He wants to be paid at a fair value. All things that are legitimate, by the way. Like, that was one of the things where I actually appreciated from Terry McLaurin. He did not make any comment that I felt like was out of pocket. He did not make any comment that I felt like was illegitimate. Everything that he said, he was valid in saying, but the process in which they went to kind of make this a bigger thing than it was really put him in a tough spot. The presser went like 25 minutes too long. I mean, after 10 minutes, he was basically done with everything that he needed to say.
Yeah, I mean, it started at, what, I think it was 12:45. It was when I heard him start speaking. I got in Kevin's ear and was like, yo, we got to throw to this. So he threw to it, and then, because, you know, you did this show, it ends at 1.
Of course.
And we kept, yeah, so, of course, it 1 o'clock rolls around, and I'm like, we can't end the show here. Chris Russell agreed. AMAC, we all kind of came to a consensus that we need to keep running this. And at about 1:10, I looked at everyone and was like, we can cut away from this. And the second they brought up Italy was when Kevin and I jumped in. We're like, all right, that's enough. We're good.
I turned it off before they brought up Italy. After the first 15 minutes, I was like, I don't need to listen to this anymore. There's no question that is going to be asked that will garner a better response than what we have already gotten.
Right.
Here is the thing, though, and maybe we have this audio. Do you have the audio of Terry acknowledging that it's been a month between conversations?
I don't have the first time he said it, but I do have that first answer from the press conference where he says, like I said, it's been a month. Active discussions need to be had.
Give me that one, please, if you don't mind.
Well, I think, there has to be some active discussions, you know what I mean? Like I said, we haven't talked in over a month, and obviously with camp around the corner, it's becoming a little bit of crunch time. And, obviously you want to be in a position where you're building to what we did last year, and Jaden and I continue to build along with the offense. And that was the thing, like, before I took a step back, it was things were going great on the field, and the connection and the offense and the energy was just amazing. And so to see where it was then and where it's at now is definitely disappointing. So I don't necessarily know what happens next, but without any progressive discussions, it's kind of hard to see how I step on the field. So I'm just trying to take it day by day, honestly, and I know the value that I bring. And again, I understand that this is a whole business and things like that, but I know that I'm going to continue to play at a high level. The Lord has blessed me to stay healthy up until this point. I haven't missed a game in 5 years. You know, I haven't missed practices. I block. I play full game. You know what I mean? And so I take extreme care of my body. Anybody in that building knows that whether it's rehab, off the field, I invest a lot of time and money into my body. And I'm going to continue to do that so I could be the best that I can when I step on the football field. So I can't really speculate what happens next. Again, I just got to take things day by day, stay in contact with my agent, and hopefully that we can have some sort of talks that are progressive. But if not, then you have to take steps from there.
So there's a couple different things that I would like to point out there that I think have either been misconstrued and taken to a direction where I don't think they should be, or things that just kind of feel like a flat-out miss. So first and foremost, he mentioned that things were in a good spot and then he left. He didn't have to leave. Like, he could have gone to minicamp. He could have stayed. All of those things are true. He does have a contract at the moment. He just wants a better contract. I can't blame him. I want Terry McLaurin to have a better contract. But the idea that he was forced to leave is a swing and a miss, because he was not forced to leave. He could have been there. He decided against it. But again, that is the business of football. So I understand his mentality there. The part about not having conversations for the last month, on the surface, sounds awful.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In reality, it is not nearly as bad as it seems. And in fact, I would much rather them not be having conversations for a month with no deal than having active conversations for a month and still no deal. Because at the very least, once those conversations, there is still the hope that once the conversations eventually do start again, that this will be a very quick process. They will get right to it. And once they're talking, they will sign Terry McLaurin. It's crunch time. Training camp is here. Let's make everybody happy. We want you here. You want to be here. Everything will be fine. That is much, much better than him and the team not or talking, shall I say, having conversations for a month and still being far apart. It's way more damning to be talking and not agreeing than not talking and not agreeing, because you allow yourself that buffer to start talking and then things to start moving in a positive direction. I want Terry McLaurin to be at training camp, no matter the contract. I don't care what his contract is. I want Terry McLaurin to be in training camp. I want him to hold in. Even if he's not participating, even if he's not putting on the pads, I still want him there. You have the ability to be around the team because, again, you have a contract. You want a new contract. That is fair. I like that. But I want you to be there so you can still be around your guys, be around your teammates, be around your coaches. I'm not worried that Terry McLaurin is going to request a trade. That has not even crossed my mind at this point. If he really wanted to, he could have. Like this Eastern Motors event, if you will, which again, it's not even an event. This was a calculated decision by the Terry McLaurin PR team, agent, publicist, whoever it was that put this together. This was a calculated decision. You'll find this crazy. Max, you know this, but for those that don't, our media does not live at Eastern Motives. Like they're just not there all the time. They were told that Terry's going to be there. It's not like teachers when you were in kindergarten where you thought they lived at school. The media does not live at Eastern Motors.
I thought
Jeff Walker might live at Eastern Motors, but like J.P. Finley does not live at Eastern Motors. He has an actual house. Ben Standing, Nikki Javala, Scott Abraham, like all these people have actual homes that they go to. They don't just live at Eastern Motors.
I don't know, man. Nikki seemed pretty comfortable using that place as her office. I saw the picture.
That's a journalist's journalist, though.
That's right.
That is legitimate Big J journalist. We have some stuff that we're going to talk about in our third hour that is not Big J journalism.
Beautiful.
But sitting on the floor at Eastern Motors to type up a story is Big J journalism.
It is.
That was a calculated decision that was made by the McLaurin camp. Now, I do want to play something from one of his teammates, because in that cut that we just played from Terry, he mentioned that his teammates are a little bit confused over the course of the 35-minute press conference. He mentioned that his teammates have his back, which is good. It's very, very good. This will echo this. This is Zach Ertz on Up and Adams with Kay Adams yesterday talking about the Terry McLaurin contract extension.
I would like for you to now make me feel better about Terry McLaurin. Can you make me feel better about Terry McLaurin?
Yeah, I mean, I think Terry is a guy. I'm not going to sit over there. I don't know the business of what's going on. I'm not privy to the conversations. But what is it? July 16th? The first game is September 7th. There's a lot of time between now and then to get something done. But at the end of the day, I mean, everyone knows – Terry's working his butt off, whether he's in the building or not in the building. And so for me as a player that's gone through contract situations, public contract situations, I appreciated that my teammates weren't out there giving their opinions and everything like that. So I'm not going to come out here and say one thing or the other. But what I do know is Terry is going to do everything he can to be at his best when his best is needed. And fortunately, his best is not needed tomorrow or early next week. It's needed towards the end of training camp, week one. So for me, I'm rooting for Terry. I hope he gets paid as much as he wants to get paid. But in terms of the business side of it, I'm going to stay far away from that.
Well said. I mean, you've already made your feelings on him known that he's like the best.
Yeah.
Heart and soul. Yeah, I mean, we all know that.
In terms of like number one receivers, there's two guys, AJ Green, which I saw at the end of his career, Terry McLaurin, are the two guys that literally, if they had 150 yards or 20 yards, you couldn't tell the difference in their demeanor. And I think that speaks volumes about the type of people they are, the type of how they work. Dudes just want to be great teammates and give everything they can for their guys. Those two I hold in especially high regard.
That's Zach Ertz talking about Terry McLaurin with Kay Adams on her show Up and Adams. The comparison to that of Terry and AJ Green is one that I hold in high regard. I loved AJ Green. People sleep on AJ Green. AJ Green, when he was in his prime, was silly. He was not in his prime in Arizona when Zach Ertz played with him, but in Cincinnati when he was playing with a red rifle, Andy Dalton, AJ Green was a tough wide receiver to match up against. But you understood the context, or at least the stance that Zach Ertz was taking, and this is a guy that's been in the league for a long, long time. It's July. Like, this is not when you absolutely need Terry McLaurin. You want Terry McLaurin to be signed, but you don't need him to be signed in July. You want him to be signed, or at least this point of July. You want him to be signed at the end of July and into August, when you can start to build into some of the things that you were doing last season and get and make sure that he is in football shape. I definitely want him in training camp by the end of it. If he misses the first day, my panic meter might move a little bit. Right now, by the way, I'm sitting at a 4. I was sitting at a 4 before the Eastern Motors press conference. I'm sitting at a 4 after the Eastern Motors press conference because, again, he didn't sit there and ask for a trade. He very easily could be pulling a Brandon Ayuk right now. Remember last year when Brandon Ayuk went on a massive media tour where he was asking for a trade but was also too scared to ask for a trade?
Yeah, he went on the Pivot, and then he posted pictures with Jaden and
yeah, he kind of used our quarterback as a little bit of a side chick, which did not like that one bit. But he was doing all these media appearances. He was liking pictures of himself in different renderings of Pittsburgh colors, Washington colors. There might have been a Baltimore colorway in there. Like, he was being messy. He was being messy on social media, and the only thing that Terry McLaurin has posted on social media is, like, his trip to Italy and, like, going back to Ohio State. All pretty normal things that you would post if you were a wide receiver that recently got married and also played at Ohio State, right? Like, there's been nothing out of the ordinary. He's not retweeting Dove Kleinman when Dove Kleinman puts a rendering of him in a Chargers uniform. He's not retweeting any other of these nonsensical aggregator accounts. He said he wants to be here. If he wanted to make a trade and make it public, he would have done it at Eastern Motors. Also, he probably wouldn't have done an Eastern Motors ad if he didn't want to be here. I think Terry has been here long enough to realize the level of the specialness that is Eastern Motors. Like, you don't understand that if you're not from here. Mm-hmm. He's been here long enough to understand what that brand means.
So if you're also on that note, because there were video clips of him during the commercial shoot, in the middle of the commercial shoot, doing lines for the commercial shoot. And right. During one of the lines, he said was, Eastern Motors will donate to a charity of my choice for every touchdown I score this season. So he will be put in a Commander's uniform this year.
He will be scoring touchdowns this year. That is what comes from that. Like, you're not doing, this isn't like, who do we have deals with? I don't think we have car deals. This isn't like he's doing like just a random car dealership deal that we've never heard of. He's doing Eastern Motors. Now, I have to be honest. I have never driven past the Eastern Motors building. I don't know where it is, but I see the commercials all the time. And I have great memories of Chris Cooley and Clinton Portis and Santana Moss doing Eastern Motors. And then Ryan Kerrigan and Trent Williams doing Eastern Motors. And now Terry McLaurin doing these commercials. So you're not going to do an Eastern Motors photo shoot if your intention is to then get up there and say, I don't want to be here anymore. That kind of flies in the face. Now, it would have been great if they retired Art Monk's jersey at 11 a.m. and then signed Terry at 1:30, that would have been a Hall of Fame kind of day, at least from a Commander's public relations standpoint. They obviously did not do that. But I'm not particularly worried that Terry is not going to be here in the long term. I think he's going to be a Commander for life. It is just going to be, what is the number? Did Kevin mention numbers on yesterday's show?
No, people, I see somebody in the chat saying that numbers were put in writing, and I would really like to see that link, because we did not say any numbers on the show yesterday. The only numbers that were reported were what Ian Rappaport said, which was the 30 number.
Which was the $30 million. We will come back, assess this a little bit more. Jay Gruen is going to join us in about 20 minutes here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. I want your panic meter. Out of 10, I'm at a 4 right now with Terry McLaurin. What are you at? Where do you stand with Terry McLaurin? Are you panicked? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Give me your panic meter when we get back. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.